Hi, everybody. Welcome to, I think it's the 25th of May, and I want to thank you for being here. We're going to carry on with some of the things we were talking about. But before we get into the lesson today, I want to tell you again, for a donation to my ministry of $20 or more, we have my two books, SOS, A 50-Day Journey into the Heart of God, From Breakdown to Breakthrough, My Journey to Soul Health, and these wristband. You get one of these wristbands that says "Seek God's Kingdom," out of Matthew 6:33. Seek the kingdom of God and His righteousness, and all these things will be added unto you. Now, you can get those for a donation of $20 or more, and then we send them to your house for free. If you just want one book, it's $15, but if you get both books, it's $20. Even if you have the books, you can get them again and give them to somebody else, okay? And then also, coming up in July, I'm going to be having my second online school, School of Ministry, and the School of Encounter Evangelism. And so we're going to be doing that online. It is $100 for the month, okay? And you get the two books and the wristband for free, and they'll be mailed to your house, so you can you can have that, and you can get both books for free. So join me in those things. Not only are we talking about our identity, our destiny, what God's will for my life is, but we're also talking about the importance, and we're going to share some things today on the importance of encounter evangelism and what it does. John Wimber, back in 1983, used to call it the Heinekel. John Wimber in 1983 used to call it a power evangelism. And basically what it did was it took somebody, like you would convince somebody and they would go through steps until they received Jesus. But what power evangelism and counter evangelism does, it takes somebody from here to here without the steps in between, and it doesn't just convince them by word, but it convinces them by deed who God is. Now, Nicole, you'll remember this. We were at the park. We were doing a barbecue out there for the community. And this guy who hadn't walked in 10 years, he had been in a wheelchair, in a cart, one of those little scooters, for 10 years. And we had the privilege, Nicole and I had the privilege of seeing this man walk for the first time in 10 years. And so much so that he got out of his scooter and went, which was about 50 yards away, was the table for food that had barbecued. We were cooking them. And he went and served his family who had served him for 10 years. It was a tremendous miracle to watch this man who had no ability to walk, all of a sudden walk. God was amazing to this guy. And I'm trying to find the video. I think I have a copy of the video somewhere. And somebody was taking video of it and watching it. And we were just watching this guy walk. It was so cool how this man who couldn't walk all of a sudden walked. I didn't have to verbally convince him that God loved him. He knew God loved him because God gave him his ability to walk back. All right? And that's kind of where we're going to go today. I was feeling strong about going in this direction today. And with that, if you go to Matthew chapter 4, starting with verse 19, I think it's 19, he says, Peter and Andrew, I know, we've seen a lot of miracles, Nicole. That was really cool. But that's one that sticks out in my mind. There is, I remember, actually, we were having a barbecue at another park, and this guy who wasn't even saved ends up giving his heart to the Lord, and Matthew was Matthew's birthday, Matthew Smith's birthday. And he bought, I think we were going to have a barbecue, but we ended up with pizza. I don't remember what we gave the people, but we gave them food, And then this guy ends up getting saved because of the love of the people around him. And we got to minister to people, and that was really cool with that. Norma, I think, became his spiritual mother or adoptive mother, and took this guy in, and he was set free. It was really cool. Anyway, we've seen a lot of miracles, yeah. So I want to go to this chapter. James and Andrew are out fishing, all right, and they depict it in the TV series. In the healing rooms as well. And Peter and Andrew are out on the boat and they're fishing. The Chosen TV series depicts it as well in a different context. But Peter's out fishing and he's, and they haven't caught anything all night. All right. Zebedee, John, and his brother Jacob, or his brother James, come out and help Peter out, and they don't catch anything all night long. There's no catching of fish. There is nothing. All right. And then so the morning comes, and they are Jesus is by the shore, and he's got this crowd of people pushing him and pressing in against him to the water's edge. Now, those of you who don't know, on the Sea of Galilee, pretty much any sea, there is a elevation that happens from the water out onto the sand. So they kind of go. So the people are out on the hill. Jesus is on the beach, and he turns around to Peter and says, "Hey, can I use your boat?" So Peter gets in his boat. And those of you who don't know anything about sound or are unschooled in it, sound travels over water very easily. And it also travels up a hill. That's why you'll see amphitheaters. The stage will be at the bottom of this undulation, and then there's people sitting all around it. excuse me. So there is this thing that Jesus and Peter, Jesus is asking Peter, "Hey, can I sit in your boat?" So Jesus sits in the boat. He shares with them, sends the people away, looks at Peter and says, "Go out a little further and cast your net out on the other side of the boat." And Peter says, "Hey, look, we've been fishing all night long, and we didn't catch anything, but at your word." All right, the word of God is so powerful. It's sharper than any two-edged sword, it says in Hebrews. Cutting you to the marrow. Okay? So you got to take God at his word. If God said it. Now, I have a lot of people that come to me and say, "God told me this, God told me that, God told me this," and then they change their mind 2 days later. And I'll say, "Well, why did you say God told you that?" You know? And I understand there comes a time when you are learning to hear the voice of God. But, you know, when you say it so authoritatively, like, and they would come up to me later, "How come you didn't stop me?" And I said, "Well, because you said God told you to." I'm not going to fight against God, even though I may not think it's right. It may be that God is telling you. I mean, we're talking about the healing rooms here, Nicole, and there were many times God would tell me something and about somebody in a direction of prayer for them that didn't sound reasonable. And I had to make sure. I said, "Does this make sense to you?" And they would say yes. And so that's how you have to deal with it. You can't just tell somebody, "God told me," without God really telling you. So be careful of that. So Peter says, "Because of your word, I will go out a little further." So they do it. And there's such a great catch of fish that Zebedee and his sons have to come and help Peter and Andrew pull the fish in. That it filled both of their boats so deep that their boats were going to sink. Now, Peter, who didn't know Jesus up until this moment, comes out and says, comes and pours himself down on Jesus' feet and says, "Depart from me, Rabbi, I am a sinful man." He knew who Jesus was because of this encounter, because of this miracle. Zebedee, James, and John are sitting there And they're looking at Jesus. And the best part about this is really cool, but the best part about this, they are awestruck by this miracle. We'll see you later, Nicole. God bless you. I'll see you, all right? Take care. Be good. And what's happening is, by the way, I'll be in Reading probably by next month for sure. I'm going to buy my ticket on the 3rd of June, and I'm going to buy my ticket, and I'll head down to Reading. I want to see my granddaughter in Olympia on my way down. But anyway, what happens is that James, John, and Zebedee are awestruck by this miracle, so much so that they end up joining Jesus. They end up joining Jesus in this thing, in this endeavor. And he says to them, you're not going to catch fish anymore. You're going to catch men for salvation. Now, God is saying to you today that you're no longer going to be a line fisherman. Now, I was in Tacoma, Washington for many years. I lived just a few hundred yards from the Puyallup River. And I would go out line fishing. I remember I caught my first 21-pound silver there. But I was only able to catch one at a time, because I was line fishing. God is calling us to net fishing. All right? When you understand who you are, when you understand that you are God's child, when you understand that the Word of God is living and active, and and you start walking in these things, you start to see that the presence of God will overpower people. It'll overpower people. And so you have to understand this, that the miracle working power, that's why Jesus said, I'm watching these dogs and they're knocking over the camera, so I apologize. And so anyway, so you have to understand that you're walking in your destiny, you're walking in who you are, you're walking in your adoption as a child of God, you're walking in it. And then you come to Matthew chapter 10, and he says, preach this message. The kingdom realm of God is close enough for you to touch. Heal the sick, raise the... So what are you going to do? You heal the sick, you cleanse the leper, you open blind eyes, and you bring the dead back to life. Freely you've received, now freely give it. You don't just become a black hole of God's blessing. You don't just become a black hole of God's blessing. You have to become a conduit of God's blessing so you can go. You're like the sprinkler system of God's miracle powers and blessings. Excuse me. Gotta drink some water. Because you do what God tells you to do, and he brings the increase. Some water, some plant, some plow the field, some pull the weeds, but it's God who gives the increase. And God's increasing us to places that are better and greater than they've ever been before. If you go to John chapter 4, you know, a very familiar passage of scripture. We're talking at the woman at the well, the Samaritan at the well. And this woman comes to Jesus, and, you know, they have this conversation. And then he says, I am the Messiah. He reveals himself to her. She runs back to the village of Sychar, where she lived, and all these people start coming out to see Jesus, to see this man that told this woman everything she had done. She had an encounter with God, and she immediately didn't have to be convinced to be saved. She had this miracle thing happen, and she jumped directly into receiving the Lord. Okay? Now the disciples are coming back with the food, and the whole village is coming out to see Jesus. And Jesus said, you say that 4 months and then the harvest. Well, I tell you to look up and see that the that the field is ripe for harvest. It's ready now. So what God is telling us today is that you have to start walking in the fact that his kingdom is ready right now and the harvest is plentiful. Ask the Lord of the harvest to send laborers into the field. It used to be a missionary cry back in the 70s when I was going to Bible college. Everybody would come, ask the Lord of the harvest to send laborers into the field. Hey, many of us would rather, this is true, many of us would rather send our money than to go. Many of us would rather send our money than go. And what God is saying is, no, I don't need money. I need you. I don't need your money. I want your life. So when you're walking in your identity, when you're walking in your destiny, these things are just natural overflows of what's happening. Jesus said in John 14, these things that I do, you're going to do. He steps it up and greater because I go to the Father. And if you ask anything in my name, I will do it. He didn't say, use in Jesus' name as a tagline. What he said was, ask anything contained in my character and I will do it. What's his character? Provider, shepherd. He is present. He's the God who sees. He is my righteousness. He is my healer. He is my provider. And so you see that and you do it and you go for it. Contained in his name. Contained in his name. If it's contained in his name, he will do it. That way he'll show what the Father is really like. We have this image of God today where God has his white beard hanging down to his belly button, long gray hair, sitting on a throne with a stick ready to beat us if we do something wrong. That's a lie. He's not ready to beat you with a stick. God loves you. And not only that, but he loves the other 8 billion people alive on earth today. He loves them. And God wants to use you to reach them. God is calling and he's pleading. Remember yesterday we talked about that from 2 Corinthians chapter 5. We plead to be reconciled to God. We plead for that. Be reconciled to God. I plead with you today to come into this place where you understand and know that God loves you unconditionally and he loves everybody around you unconditionally. God loves people. God hates sin. God loves people. God hates sin. Even those people that have 20% of the alphabet. He loves them. Doesn't like what they do. He loves them. He loves the adulterer, but he doesn't love the adultery. He loves the murderer. He doesn't love the murdering. He loves the woman who's killing her baby. He doesn't love the killing of the baby. It is time for the believer, true believers in Jesus, to stand up and love a world that is not lovable. Not to get into intellectual arguments, although there's nothing wrong with that. but to come with the kingdom realm of Jesus and touch people's lives unconditionally. He loves you unconditionally. I had some guy say to me the other, it was a couple weeks ago. He said, how can God love people like that? And I just looked at him and I said, how can God love you? Well, I don't do stuff like that. And I said, well, let's go to your closet then and let's find out what it is that you do do. Let's find out what it is that you do. He hates the lie. He hates the lie. He hates the murder. He hates the thievery. He hates all that stuff. But he loves those that does it. He died for those that God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten son. That whoever believes in him would not perish. Well, I know a guy who's committed the unforgivable sin. Yeah, you know that guy, huh? Well, let me ask you, is he still alive? Yes. Then he has a chance. He still has a chance. He still has a chance. Because he's alive. And the blood of Jesus can take care of all that. God loves people. He has no, it's unconditional love. But he doesn't like what they do, but he loves them. Even the arguer. Doesn't matter what side of the aisle you're on or if you're down the middle. It doesn't matter if you're socialist or extreme right wing. He doesn't matter. He loves you. And he wants you. And he cares for you. Amen. Well, that's all that we got to share today. I want you to understand that if you make a donation to this ministry, TomAndSarahMinistries@gmail.com, and I'll tell you how to donate. We go through Cash App, PayPal, Venmo, and for a gift of $20 or more, you're going to get both of my books, a wristband that says Seek God's Kingdom. You'll get those things sent to you. And then in July, we're having an online school. $100 gets you the school. It's a school of ministry, a school of encounter evangelism. And then we're going to go through things that way. Well, God bless you. Have a great day today. Today is a great day to start. I don't know how to do it. That's okay. Just love people today. All right? Well, God bless you. Have a great day. And we'll talk to you next.